So it's always a pleasure and a joy to speak with all of you. I have to say that I do have the wonderful position of speaking to happy, positive people pretty much all the time. I would say that, you know, the majority of customers, even the ones who are dealing with health issues, are far more cheerful and more positive than what I find just walking the streets out there. So I think we're all at least attempting to do something right. Well, to start with, I would like to remind everybody that Purium is very unique as a company. In fact, incredibly unique, because we are one of the only nutritional companies that exist who produces products without junk. Of course, most people are aware of the fact that we are whole food. Now, there are some other whole food companies out there, so I'm not going to try and tell you we have an exclusive on that. And there's other decent products. But as far as I know, there is no product line available where you will find all the products free of additives, binders, and fillers. And our adage, as it's been for many, many years, is, well, people in the know ask for and demand clean, wholesome food that they're going to feed their family. And so by the same token, it only makes sense that we should be able to have supplements that are not only made of whole food, but are also free of additives and stuff that we don't want to be consuming. And more evidence is pointing to the fact that some of these additives that are legally allowed to be added to supplements, such as magnesium stearate, microcrystalline cellulose, silicon dioxide, that these all have the ability to actually create what are called biofilms. Now, without getting too technical, biofilms are not good. I think everyone is very aware of their automobile, and if you drive a couple hundred thousand miles and never change your spark plugs, and it starts running a little sluggishly, and you take a spark plug out, you're going to notice that it's quite covered with stuff and corroded, and obviously the spark is not able to occur as easily. Well, that's sort of how a biofilm works. In other words, it interferes with the electrical currents of our body. And science is now more and more pointing to the fact that we are not physical beings. This has been pretty well documented. This is not new information. This has been around for a good 50 years at this point by the scientific community. And more people are understanding that we are energy beings. And I've shared this before, but I'll share it again, that I had a very clear example of this many, many years ago when I was going to college. And I was working a full-time job and taking a full load of classes, and it was pretty tiring and exhausting. And so I remember one day at the end of a week, I was just really pooped and barely made it through the front door and collapsed onto the sofa and was just, you know, sort of like in a la-la land. You know how you get when you're just really tired and exhausted and you're not really sleeping, but you're just sort of like dozing and it just sort of feels good. And after doing this for maybe, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes, I'm not even sure how long it was, there was a knock at the door and my neighbor walks in and she proudly displays two tickets to, I think, Simon and Garfunkel. And she said that she had these tickets and did I want to go and with her because, you know, she didn't, her roommate originally, they had bought the tickets together and she had to go home or something. So anyhow, so, you know, hey, free tickets to Simon and Garfunkel, this sounded good. But immediately I found that my exhausted, tired body didn't feel exhausted and tired anymore. I was full of zip and energy. And, of course, I didn't even think about that because obviously I was motivated to want to go to this concert. And so we went and actually even went out and had, I think, a soda or something afterwards and then, came back. And about 2 days after that, it dawned on me what had occurred, that here I was totally exhausted from the day, and in less than 20 seconds, I was a brand new person. So in other words, we're not physical beings. We are beings of energy. And in fact, there is more and more research pointing to the fact that even the energy that we think we are is not the kind of energy we're used to thinking about, like electricity. In other words, it's even more subtle than that. So in other words, there's lots going on that we are not aware of. Now, one of the best ways that we can tap into keeping this energy flowing is to not bring things into our bodies that would cause this energy to be interrupted. So what kinds of things are those? Well, obviously, things that are going to create biofilms are pretty obvious. Anything that you're going to ingest that is not food is potentially going to cause a problem. I don't think this isn't rocket science. I think everyone recognizes this completely. Okay, so that's where Purium comes in so well, because we offer whole food supplements that are nutritionally dense power packs. And they give our bodies the ability to ingest high quantities of nutrient-dense, low-calorie food. And this is primarily what the body needs as its fuel. Okay, so that part we've got pretty well covered. Obviously, you want to make sure that you're drinking pure water. You want to make sure that you're using any types of spices or seasonings that are as pure and clean as possible, including salts. You want to have salt that is unrefined, that hasn't been exposed to bleaches and other types of processing to make them white as snow. So good salt has color. Himalayan, Celtic, those are the two that I like best, but there's quite a few salts that are out there from different parts of the world that all have different color, and the color represents the minerals that are in them, okay, and that the fact that they're not, they have not been processed. That's real important. So in any event, we want to keep that part going very well. It's very important. Now, there's something else that is as important, if not more important, and that is our frame of mind. Studies point out that people who are cheerful, people that are happy, truly happy, not feigning their happiness, although if you can't do anything else, a friend of ours says, stand in front of a mirror and take the corners of your mouth and pull them upward like you're making yourself smile, and you're actually going to feel better. You're not being a hypocrite. It actually works, okay, because the frame of mind will follow the physical appearance. So you have to do whatever you have to do and can do to maintain a positive, cheerful, happy outlook. Science clearly points out that the immune system is benefited through cheerfulness and through happiness. So in other words, people that are the happiest tend to be the healthiest, which is pretty cool. So that's really neat. Now, years ago, there was the editor of the Saturday Evening Post, Norman Cousins, was dealing with a very serious disease, and there was nothing the doctors could do for him. And it was really debilitating. It was very, very, very destructive. And what he decided to do on his own is he started watching Groucho Marx movies, which were pretty funny. And he would watch these every single day, and he would be laughing. I mean, almost the point of tears. I mean, it was they were very funny movies. And after a period of time, his condition not only improved, but it went away. And so that was clear evidence of how the power of levity and the power of true humor and joy activated the immune response. Pretty amazing. And so I think that this can be very, very, very helpful. Now, one of the things that we're all facing today in the world, and we can't deny this, I wouldn't even try, is the fact that we are dealing with a very negative environment. In fact, it's extremely negative. All you have to do, if you're so uninclined, I mean, I don't recommend doing this. We don't have a TV. If we hear any news on the radio, it's only because we're trying to catch the traffic report at the same time if we're driving. But usually, if you just read headlines, that's enough. And it's a good idea to at least keep somewhat up to date on what's going on. But the media is designed to sell advertising and to basically, you know, keep us dumbed down. And so the best way to avoid that is just to simply avoid listening to any of it. It serves no purpose. And because right now we are dealing with a lot of negativity in the world, it simply means that we have to make a concerted effort to be happy and cheerful and peaceful, especially when we're dealing with other people, because most people don't have this information, and they are, in fact, watching the news and interacting with people at work and so on and so forth, just like all of us have to do. And so everyone's interacting with negative people. And so the best antidote is to just be prepared and don't expect that someone else is going to be cheerful and happy. If you find it, great. But in other words, I'm not saying keep your guard up, but keep your own happiness intact. That's really the secret. You don't want to be an isolationist. But what we want to do is so train our mind so that we are not affected by the gloom and the depression and the sadness and even the fear that's pretty prevalent out there in our world today. Now, another great secret for maintaining not only peace of mind and happiness and composure, and by the way, these are incredible tools that can keep your body healthy. That's why they're so important, and they should never be underestimated. Okay, so that's why I'm really stressing it. But another great tool and technique, and this takes some practice, because we've all been trained to evaluate and to judge and to, we have critical natures. And it's valuable to some extent because we have to use our discrimination. We have to judge things. But we don't have to judge everybody that we meet. If you're looking at buying something and you're trying to choose between two different brands of toaster ovens, well, okay, you're going to use your discrimination. You're going to read the various functions and the features. You're going to check out the warranty differences, the manufacturer, so on and so forth. And so, obviously, using judgment and discrimination in that regard is very appropriate and worthwhile. But when we start judging other people, we get ourselves in a whole heap of trouble. Because, first of all, we don't know what someone else is going through. You know, there's an old Indian expression, until you've walked in the moccasins of another person, you don't know what they're dealing with. And that is very, very true. So there's no point in trying to evaluate where someone else is at. You have to use your own common sense to know when to stay away from a skunk. You know, if you're talking to somebody and they are just, you know, being super-duper negative, and your attempts at being cheerful and happy don't seem to have any influence on them, then the best thing to do is just go your own way and bless them, you know, and gradually and gracefully, you know, get out of the environment. because as a wonderful friend said, environment is stronger than our own willpower. So in other words, unless we are really being centered, we're going to end up sucking up their mood rather than they taking up ours. And so that's why you have to be very careful who and where you're communicating. But the other thing that's really helpful is to actually practice a concept of having no expectations. In other words, we do the best we can, but we leave the results to a higher power. And it doesn't mean that we become sloppy. It doesn't mean that we become uncaring, but it does mean that we practice sort of a detachment. So in other words, we're not connecting our happiness with the outcome of something we're doing. In other words, we're going to maintain our happiness and we're going to maintain our peace of mind whether a project we're working on goes the way we'd hoped it would or it goes the other direction. In other words, we're not going to lose our peace of mind. And the only way to do that is to simply have no expectation of the result while we are actually doing what we're doing. Okay, it doesn't mean you don't try and improve things. We do. We try and improve things all the time. But we keep the emotional influence out of it so that we're not swayed, because those are the things that cause people to get sad and even depressed. You know, when something goes against the way they think it should, it causes distress and angst. And so that's what we want to eliminate. We want to keep our sense of peace of mind, so that becomes our most important quantity and quality, because that influences our health and our happiness overall more than anything else that we can do. Now, another factor that I touched on once before, and I'm going to spend a little bit more time right now on, because it's very, very crucial, and this applies to all of you dear members who are actually trying to do PHP as a business, perhaps, or to all of you who deal with families and friends and coworkers and anyone else that you have to communicate with, whether it's someone who's doing your yard work or a maintenance person or whatever, okay? And that is the way we communicate. Now, I'm going to read to you a little excerpt from a very interesting book. It was actually written by a man by the name of Robert L. Weiss. And the book is called Crossing the Threshold of Eternity. And this, he actually was working with hospice people. And the book's subtitle is What the Dying Can Teach the Living. And this section right here really doesn't have any specific thing to do with that, but it's just the overall topic that I'm talking about right now, which is how we communicate and how our communication sometimes does not produce the results we would like it to. All right, so good old Dr. Mr. Wise starts by saying, he's addressed this section as listening under construction. The average person assumes that if he aims his mouth accurately, then whatever comes out of it is going to make solid contact. My wife is laughing in the background. While it's a good thought, communication is seldom as clear as we'd like it to be. During prolonged communication, the chances are good that it is probably going in the opposite direction. We generally don't stop to remember that everyone carries his own privately formed dictionary around in his head. The words are defined out of a person's experiences, the decades during which he or she grew up, and 1,000 other nuances shaped by his or her life experiences, about which we know absolutely nothing. All this is to say that we must be attentive to whomever we're talking or listening with. That's the secret, he just said. We must be attentive to whomever we are communicating with. Most of us are very attentive to what we are saying, and we tend to just glance over what the other person is communicating. And that is a lot of the problem, because they are talking through different filters and so on and so forth. So Mr. Weiss goes on. For example, I once had a magnificent English sheepdog by the name of Chavis Regal that was as big as a small horse, but as gentle as a lamb. Chavis had the strange habit of charging the front door whenever someone rang the bell. The beautiful dog meant nothing but a friendly greeting, although he sounded like a train roaring out of the living room. A friend dropped by once and rang our doorbell. Chavis bounded to the door like an attack of wild tigers. I walked up and saw the concerned look on the friend's face, staring through the glass door at this barking ball of fur. As a joke, I said to my friend that Chavis likes people that he ate two last week. And he said the man turned white. Now, obviously he meant that as a joke. But he goes on to say, what I didn't know was that the guy had been attacked by a tiny chihuahua when he was only 3 years old, and he'd gotten his chubby little legs chewed on. Now, when you're 3 years old, a chihuahua probably looked like Chavis. Now, because he was so small in those days, the dog looked to the child to be about the size of my sheepdog today. So you get the picture. My joke didn't communicate humor. Instead, it simply left him terrified. I intended one thing, he heard another. So at that point, I realized I needed a few lessons in the art of communication to help both of us get beyond a communication problem. Sometimes we pick up these insights along the way and put them to good use, but just as often we don't. So this is the big problem. And so keep in mind, when we are talking to somebody that we're close to or that we've just met, we really have to work from the standpoint we don't know where they're coming from. We have no idea what they're going through at that moment. And they might have a smile on their face, but that doesn't really mean that's what they are experiencing inside. So this is very powerful for both of us. In other words, for the person trying to communicate and put across a point, and the person who's also just listening. Simply because if we can both end up connecting on a real level, where we both have acknowledged our humanity and we finish feeling like we actually have connected, then we've improved the immune response. And that's really cool. Very cool. I mean, it's powerful. So everything that we've been talking about in this particular Let's Talk Health is really about subtle things that really go unnoticed. Now, many people are aware of many of the things that we've been talking about, but the purpose of having this as a call is to help it become more clearly in front of us. In other words, we want to keep this sort of in the front of our mind when we are dealing with other people. In other words, do you have a smile on your face or do you have a frown? Are you worried about something? You know, are you concerned how someone's going to react to you? These are all things that will influence the effectiveness of your interaction with somebody else. And let's face it, folks, we're all on this mud ball together, and it's pretty clear that it's a school, that we're supposed to learn things and learn how to get along and learn how to work with each other. And I'm becoming more and more convinced that our goal is not so much what we can accomplish as much as it's how we go about what we're trying to accomplish. I think that's how we make our own evaluation after we've taken our final breath. That's just my hunch. But anyhow, just to review what we've been saying, we can be a tremendous asset to our friends and our families, our loved ones, simply by becoming more conscious of how we communicate and how we react to our world. So the key here is awareness. That's really the secret weapon. If we can become more aware of what we're doing minute by minute, and it doesn't mean we don't want to get stressed about this, but what we do want to do is not allow ourselves to be influenced by negative environments. And that will happen if we're not conscious and we're not aware. That's the real secret. It's not about becoming stressed about anything. It's not about keeping your guard up. It's just simply about keeping yourself full of positive and happy thoughts, feelings. And if there are things that you have to deal with that are unpleasant, which is pretty normal in today's world, then you still want to look at it from a standpoint, okay, what am I supposed to learn here? And how do I react to it? So in other words, what we're really talking about here is becoming proactive so that we are controlling our environment far more than our environment is controlling us. And you keep yourself fueled with good Purium health foods, watch funny movies, read good books, surround yourself with positive people, spend some time meditating if you can. We've talked about that many times. And think peace, think happiness. And it's been a pleasure being with you. And I will look forward to seeing you again live the second week of September, which shall be September the 12th. So be well.